I think that's one of the things that go down there. Well, good morning, Christian Family Church. Happy Sunday to you. If you could please stand up with us while we enter in and worship and give God praise this morning. I look forward to this day every week.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. In Psalm 67, this is what the Word of God says. It says in verse 5, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." The Bible says that when we begin to praise God, it says that God blesses us, that the earth yields its fruit. There's something that happens when you begin to give God praise. There's something that happens in your heart. There's something that happens in your circumstance. Your world begins to change. As you begin to give God praise, He responds. Can you say amen? Amen. So we came this morning to praise Him. Lord, we come to worship You. We come to lift up the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, at which every knee must bow and every tongue confess. He is Lord. We declare, Jesus, You Lord in our life. You Lord over Jupiter. You Lord in this city. You Lord in this nation. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's give God praise. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let's clap our hands. Stamp our feet. Let's give
Thank you.
The Word of God tells us, the Scripture tells us, that God goes before us and He levels the mountains.
Hallelujah.
And he cuts the bars of iron.
Hallelujah.
How many of you believe in God has gone before you and He's leveling that mountain that stands before you? How many of you know the Scripture says, as we say, I've seen Him do it before. And I believe you'll do it again.
Amen.
You've never failed me yet.
Amen.
And you know He's not going to start now.
Amen.
God is faithful. Amen. It's one of the greatest attributes about the Lord is He is faithful. The Bible says even when we are faithless, even then He still remains faithful.
Amen.
Say thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Say, Lord, I thank you that you are going before me and you are leveling the mountains and you're cutting the gates of iron in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You've done it before and I am expecting and I am believing that you do it again. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. Thank you for providing every need. Say, my God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, listen, we got another song, one more song we're gonna close out with today. But what a great time of worship, man. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church already. I feel better already. How about you? I want to ask our Connect Group leaders to come and help you this morning, because we want to pray for anyone who needs prayer. Anybody who has any kind of a need in your life. I want you to know that we serve a God who is a God of miracles.
Amen.
And we serve a God who He said, call on me and I will answer you. You know, so often in life, we face difficulty, but we try and overcome it by ourselves. We try and work it out by ourselves. But the Bible says that God wants us to cast all of our burdens on Him. That He doesn't want us to be anxious about anything. He wants us to roll our burdens on Him. And He wants us to call upon Him. And He wants us to ask Him for His help. He longs to help us. But very often, you know, if you try and do it by yourself and you don't call on the Lord and you don't trust in Him, then God is a gentleman and He never forces His way. He'll step back and He'll let you figure it out. But when you take that step back and you say, Lord, I'm casting this on you. I'm casting my cares on you. I'm casting my worries on you. I'm asking you, Lord, to help me. I'm asking you, Lord, to heal me. I'm asking you, Lord, to provide for me. I'm asking you, Lord, to level this mountain. When you call upon the Lord and you step back, that's when He steps in and He takes care of it for you. He fights your battles. He becomes your vindicator. Can you say amen? So as we sing this song, it's called Yours, I want to invite you. First of all, Connect Group leaders, come stand up here with me. Come and pray with me. Come on. And if you need prayer this morning, these people, they know how to pray. I'm here to pray with you. My wife's here to pray with you. These leaders will pray with you. And I want you to come. Don't be shy. You might even be this might be the first time you've ever been to our church. That's okay. We're glad you're here today. Don't be shy. If you need prayer, if you're standing here this morning and you said, Pastor Steve, you know, I really need the Lord to help me. I'm talking to you today. You're the one I'm talking to. I want you to come right now and let us pray and let's believe God in Jesus' name.
When we were praying this morning, the Lord said to me that there's somebody here with a breathing problem, and He wants to heal you today in that's you, just come on out here. Somebody else, I think it's a man who has a lump under their arm that's concerning them, come on out. You know, sometimes when the Lord calls certain things out, people stay in their seat and then they come back a couple of weeks later and they say, do you know, I was kind of surprised that I was totally healed of that. But just come on out, we're going to pray over that. The Lord wants to heal it. Somebody else that has a splintered bone in their foot, the Lord's wanting to heal that. And then there's someone else who's got, you've been hearing voices, but in a way that troubles you, in a way that brings anxiety, that brings fear. It's not the Lord, and that's been bothering you. Just come on, you might not have told anybody about it. Just come on out, one of us will pray for you this morning.
Your throne.
We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. We thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. Your angels are all around. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing removes every burden. That your anointing destroys every yoke. I speak to every yoke. I speak to every bondage. I speak to every hindrance. I speak to every blockage. And I break you in the name of Jesus. And I declare freedom and liberty. You are free. In Jesus' name, you are free.
Best singers in all of Florida right here on a Sunday.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are you today?
Great.
Look good. Look good. Good to see you. Sound good. I'm glad you're in church worshiping with us this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad that you're a part of this service. When we watch online, the one thing, you don't capture the music and the worship the same way, but praise God, it's better than nothing, right? You get the message. But we're very glad that you're in church with us this morning to worship. How many of you were here last week? It was good, wasn't it? It was so good. And Sunday night, we had an impromptu Sunday night meeting, which went on for 3 hours, and nobody wanted to leave. It was wonderful. It was so good. But we're glad that you're here. Every time we gather together, we expect the Lord to minister to us. We come to minister to Him first. But we expect him to hear him speak to us, right?
Amen.
Through his word and through Pastor Steve and what goes on and meet one another. So we're so glad that you're here. But we want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we?
Yes.
So if you are here for the first time, we want to honor you. We're not going to embarrass you. I'll get our handsome ushers at the back. They just have a gift bag in their hand and they'd like to just hand it to you right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just lifting your hand for us, please? Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else, just lift your hand. Thank you. Just ushers. Yeah, thank you, Nick. Thank you. Just a little higher so they can see you. Aaron, over here. Thank you. God bless you. We're glad that you're here. And, you know, maybe it's a little different. But, you know, I don't believe anyone comes in here by accident.
No.
You know, sometimes we look back and we say, gee, the Lord was really leading me. We don't realize it at the time, but we find ourselves places and we feel like we realize God was directing our footsteps. And I hope that's the case with you, and I pray that you receive something out of this service that ministers to you. In that envelope, there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it will be an encouragement to you. And there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you. Happy birthday, Scotty. if it's your birthday, happy birthday to you. I just know it's his birthday, right? It is today? Yes. Good. Glad you're in church, brother. Awesome. Thanks, Pastor Steve.
All right. Has everybody been good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, man. Did anyone bring their Bible with them to church today?
Yes.
You got your Bible?
Yes.
Prove it. Good to see you, Alicia. Did you get my text? You did? Well, you didn't reply, but you're here. Praise God. I want to thank every one of you that invite people to come with you to church. Rick and Sherry, just about every week you bring friends with you. You had some friends last week, and I think the week before that, and your friends from visiting from London, Canada, Ontario. London, Ontario, Canada.
Hey, all right.
Do you know there's a Stratford in London? Is that right? There's a Stratford near London, and do you know they have a Thames River there too? Are there many English people living there? Must have been originally settled. My wife's sister lives in Canada. So thank you for inviting your friends to come to church, and thanks for being here. And everybody, remember, when you sat down today, I think there should be a little invitation card like this in your seat. I always keep some in my car, keep some with me, because you never know who you're going to bump into. You never know, you might have a divine appointment where you meet someone and God wants you to invite them to church, and this invitation card really helps you. Because it's got all of our details, website, all that stuff on here. So let's all be in the habit of inviting people every week to come with us. The only thing we can take with us to heaven is people. That's the only thing. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we're working so hard on things that really are only going to last a few years. Sometimes, you know, I know some people have put all their attention in their house. I know I have some, where I live in my neighborhood, I have some neighbors that Sunday, man, they trim that lawn, they wash that car, they spend all day, you know, trimming the lawn, doing the pool, and I understand you've got to do that, but let me tell you, all of those things don't really matter when it comes to eternity. The only thing you can take with you is people. You're not going to take your house with you, your car with you, your job with you, your clothes with you, all that's going to stay. The only thing you can take is people. When you get to heaven, it's going to be the people that you reached out to, that you invited, that you prayed for, that you brought into the kingdom. Those are the people going to say, thank you, I'm here because of you. Say, I'm a soul winner.
A soul winner.
Everybody say, I am a soul winner.
I'm
a disciple maker.
I'm
a history maker.
I'm
reaching people.
In
the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, today, I want to speak about how that opposition signals promotion. Say, opposition signals promotion. You know, we all have things come against us in our life. We all have situations that are not fair. We have people that do us wrong. And it's easy to get discouraged and think that that's the way it's always going to be. But you know, just because you have opposition, that does not mean that you are not in the will of God. I said, just because you have opposition, it doesn't mean you're not in the will of God.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, and he said this. He said, for a wide door of opportunity has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now notice that. A wide door of opportunity. A great opportunity is open. But, he said, there are many adversaries. Do you know why? Any time that you're going to move forward, any time you're going to take new ground, there will be opposition. There will be people trying to discourage you. There will be things happen that you don't understand. But the people who overcome and reach their destiny are not moved by what's not working out. They know God is in control. He's directing my steps, and that what was meant for my harm, He's going to turn it around to my advantage. They know that that setback was really a setup for God to do something even greater in their life. The opposition is a sign promotion is coming. I said the opposition is a sign that promotion is coming. Healing is coming. New levels are on the way. Amen. See, I want you to have a paradigm shift here. I want you to have a new perspective. Because very often when we face opposition, we think, well, what am I doing wrong? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, why are you not with me? But you need to realize that opposition, instead of looking at it as I'm doing something wrong, instead of looking at it as why isn't God blessing me, you need to look at it as there's opposition. That must mean promotion is on the way. That must mean there's a new level on the way for me. That must mean something good's about to happen. The fact that I'm having this opposition, it just changes the way that you see things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when God was going to promote David and take him from the shepherd's fields, a teenager taking care of his father's sheep, and give him the respect and influence of the whole nation, God didn't send a friend. God didn't have King Saul say, you know, David, I really see potential in you. I'm going to promote you. I'm going to help you. No, God sent an enemy. God sent a giant. And David could have thought, Lord, I don't understand this. Samuel said, I'm going to be the next king. He anointed me in front of all my family. But he didn't say anything about this Goliath. He never mentioned that. No, David understood this principle that with the opportunity, there would be opposition. And when David defeated Goliath, do you know that he became an overnight hero? All of Israel took notice of David. Not because Samuel had anointed him, Nobody celebrated David when the prophet Samuel poured oil on his head and anointed him and said, this is going to be the next king of Israel. No one celebrated David. They thought, oh, that's no big deal. That's just David. That's just young David. Pour all the oil you want on him. It's not going to change anything. David even went back to the shepherd's field after he was anointed by the prophet Samuel. He went back to the shepherd's field. It didn't look like anything had changed. But when David defeated Goliath, that one victory gave him instant respect from all of Israel when he defeated that giant. And let me tell you, the giants that you face were not meant to defeat you. They weren't sent to defeat you. They were to show people the anointing of God that is on your life to take down giants. God's called you to be a giant killer. Amen. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to somebody here today. It's one thing to say you're anointed, but let me tell you, God's going to prove you're anointed. When you defeat that giant, when you break that addiction, when you beat that cancer, when you pay your house off, when your business takes off, when you overcome that seemingly impossible situation, there won't be any doubt. People will see the favor of God is on your life, and they're going to have a new respect for you. I mean, they may have dismissed you in the past, maybe not paid much attention. Oh, you know, that's just David, just a teenager. He doesn't have much to offer. But I want you to get ready, because God is about to show out. That giant you're facing may be bigger, it may be stronger, it may be more powerful. But how many of you know it is no match for our God? Goliath is no match for our God. So my encouragement is, don't run away from the giant. Don't be intimidated by the giant. Run to the giant. Amen. That's what David did. He actually ran toward Goliath. Because that giant's not going to defeat you. That giant is going to establish you. That giant is going to give you a new level of influence. It's going to cause people to see that you are favored. They may not like you, and they may never be for you, but they will not be able to deny the fact that the blessing of God is on your life. You know, when David defeated Goliath, you don't read another word about Goliath. There's not another mention of Goliath. You know why? Because Goliath's whole purpose was to establish David. Right?
Yeah.
Don't complain about your giants. Without that giant, you couldn't take your throne, so to speak. Without that opposition, you wouldn't see the fullness of your destiny. And of course, none of us likes difficulties, but you've got to keep the right perspective, family. On the other side of that opposition is a new level. You have to outlast the opposition. You have to have a made-up mind that you are in it to win it. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. He knows what's happening. He sees the medical report. He sees who's not treating you right. Listen, if you'll stay in faith like David, you'll not only come out of it, but you'll come out of it better, promoted to a new level of your destiny. Amen. Opposition signals promotion. That's what happened with Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, Isaac faced all kinds of opposition. Isaac was very successful. His crops had produced record amounts that year. You know, he was honoring God. He was doing the right thing. But his neighbors, the Philistines, when they saw how blessed he was and how his crops had produced, instead of being happy for him, they were jealous of him. And they didn't want him there anymore. And the Bible says in Genesis 26 verse 12, it says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He had 100-fold return in the same year. And the thing that's amazing, though, it was during a time of a famine. And the Bible says he became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and servants that the Philistines were jealous of him. Now listen to me. Don't be surprised when God blesses you if not everybody celebrates you. Not everybody's going to be happy for you. Some people cannot handle your success. Some people, they're fine as long as you stay at their level. Then they're for you. But when God takes you to the next level, when God shows out in your life, then they may not be happy for you. But instead of getting discouraged, remember, the opposition is a sign promotion is coming. I mean, you're blessed now, but let me tell you, God has something greater. God has something that you haven't seen. God wants to do more than you can ask or imagine. And the Philistines, they were so jealous. Look what they did. In Genesis 26 and verse 15, it says, the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. They clogged up his wells with dirt. So he didn't have any water for his flocks, for his animals. Anywhere to water his crops. And the Bible says, finally, Abimelech, that's the king of the Philistines, he ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you've become too powerful for us. You're just too blessed, man. You're too blessed. The king told Isaac he was too blessed, he was too powerful, he had to leave the area. Now, Isaac could have fought against it. He could have said, no, this is where God blessed me, and I'm staying here, and I refuse to leave. But after he prayed, Isaac knew he was supposed to leave. I'm sure that he was disappointed. He never dreamed he's going to have to start all over again. But listen to me, family. When you do the right thing, even when the wrong thing is happening, you are sowing a seed for God to bless you. It might look like someone's getting the best of you. It may be unfair, like, you know, Isaac, you did what was right, but it puts you at a disadvantage. But I want you to know, don't worry, your time is coming. They may think they're pushing you down, but really, let me tell you, when someone opposes you, what they don't realize is they're really pushing you up. In Genesis 26, verse 17, it says, Isaac departed from there, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gihon. So he goes down to the valley. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. So Isaac takes the high road. Isaac moves to the valley of Gihon. It looked like he's going in the wrong direction because he had been up on the high places. He'd been up on the high places, so blessed. Now he's going down into the valley. But the blessing is not on your location. The blessing is on you. Where the Bible says, wherever you go, the blessing goes. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Wherever I go, the blessing goes with me. Say, wherever I go, the blessing of God goes with me because I'm blessed. You see, when you take the high road and when you make adjustments to keep the peace, it may look like you're going backwards, having to start all over again. But let me tell you, when you do the right thing, you will never end up with less. You'll never end up with less resources, less influence, less joy. There may be a season of less, but increase is coming. Promotion is coming. Abundance is coming. Breakthrough is coming. A new level is coming in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Isaac moved to the valley, and his men redug the wells that had belonged to his father Abraham. He was on his old property. But then the local shepherds came up and they said, in verse number 20, it says the herdsmen of Gihon quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen. And they said, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Isaac because they quarreled with him. Now, Isaac could have made a big deal about it because after all, it was his property. It belonged to his father. Isaac could have told these men, you know, This is our well. This is my father's well. But instead, he told these men to stop digging, and he let the local herdsmen have it, which was another disappointment, and he named the well Isaac, which means contention or argument. He knew that if he stayed in that location, it would start a big fight. And even if he won, it would be an ongoing battle with strife and with conflict. And listen, yes, sometimes you need to stay and fight the good fight and take what belongs to you. But there are times, like with Isaac,
where you need to walk away and let God make it up to you.
Yes.
You could win, but it's going to do so much damage and cause so much ongoing trouble that it would be better just to let it go. I think that Isaac learned this principle from his father Abraham, because a similar thing happened with his father Abraham. It says in Genesis chapter 13, let me just go back for a moment and show you what happened with Abraham, because I think Isaac learned this from his father. It says the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks and their herds living so close together. And so disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. And finally, Abram said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us and our herdsmen. After all, we're close relatives, we're brothers. And so the whole countryside is open to you. Abraham said, take your choice, Lot, of any section of the land that you want, and we will separate. And if you want the land to the left, then well, I'll take the land to the right. And if you prefer the land on the right, then I'll go to the left. And so Abraham gave Lot the first choice. And it says, Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. And the whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. And so Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. And so Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled near among the cities of the plain. How many of you know Lot didn't realize what was going to happen with Sodom? Right. He's getting prime real estate here. Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says the people of this area were extremely wicked, and they constantly sinned against the Lord. And after Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south and east and west. I am giving you all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I'm giving it to you. Now here's my point. Can you see that Abraham was a peacemaker? Even though he was the one that God spoke to and told him, you know, depart from your family, your relatives, and go to a land, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you a great nation. Abram took his nephew Lot with him. And then he let Lot choose the best land. He said, well, you choose. If you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. I'll give you the first choice. But you see, the blessing of God was on Abraham. And Abraham ended up with so much blessing. Even though Lot chose the best land, at the end of the day, Abraham was the one that had the blessing of God, and he ended up being the most blessed man in all the earth. And not only that, he ended up rescuing Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And this is what Isaac did. Isaac moved to a different place, and he dug new wells. But the same thing happened. Going back to Genesis 26, verse 21, they dug another well, and they crawled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. The name Sitna means opposition, hatred, hostility. So Isaac could have thought, Lord, I'm done. I've been faithful, Lord. I got kicked out of my own land. I redug the wells of my father. That didn't work out. Lord, this is never going to happen. But Isaac had a made up mind. He knew that on the other side of that adversity was a new level of his destiny. And it says in verse 22, look what happened. And he moved from there and he dug another well. And they didn't quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth. For he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I love the Living Bible translation. It says it like this. He called it the well of room enough for us at last. For now at last, he said, the Lord has made room for us and we shall thrive. And then if you read the Message Bible, it says he called the name of it Rehoboth. It means wide open spaces. Saying now God has given us plenty of space to spread out in the land. Now, I want you to see the principle here, family, is that if you will pass these tests and go through the well of argument and go through the well of opposition, then you will come to the well of room enough, the well of wide open spaces, the well of abundance in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You see, the mistake that we make so often is we get stuck at the well of argument. Try to prove our point, convince somebody we're right. Those first set of wells belonged to Isaac's family. He had a right to them. But how many of you know there are some battles that are not worth fighting? See, when you're a peacemaker and you let somebody else be right, even though you know they're wrong, everything in your mind will tell you, you're weak. You're letting them get the best of you. Why don't you stand up for yourself? You're going to have to go down to the valley now. But in the valley, that's where room enough is. That's where the place of abundance is. That's where the wide open spaces are. Don't get stuck at the well of argument. No, Steve, it's not right. What they did was wrong. Why don't you let God fight your battles? Why don't you let God be your vindicator? I can assure you, God will vindicate you much better than you can vindicate yourself. I let God fight my battles because He's much bigger. He's much stronger. He is undefeatable. He fights for me. He vindicates for me. Amen. And He'll do the same for you. We're not called to straighten everybody out. They may be wrong. You know you're right. But you've got to ask yourself, if I win this argument, what will it accomplish? What do I win? Is it going to move me forward in life? Or is it just going to make me feel good? You see, you could win, but in the big picture, it took your time, it took your energy, it took your focus, things you should be using for your own dreams. And listen, we fight too many battles that don't matter. If that fight is not between you and your God-given destiny, it's just a distraction. Let me tell you, one of the enemy's greatest tricks is to distract you from your destiny. The enemy tries to lure you off course. He tries to get you stuck at the well of argument. When the well of room enough is waiting for you, you've got to learn to let things go. You're going to let somebody else be right for the sake of peace. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 39, in the Amplified Version, He said, simply ignore insignificant insults or trivial losses and do not bother to retaliate. Maintain your dignity, your self-respect, your poise. What did He say? Ignore insignificant insults or trivial losses. Don't even bother to retaliate. Let me tell you, we would go a lot further and we would enjoy life a whole lot more if we would simply ignore certain things. Someone's talking about you, don't try to straighten them out, just ignore it. I tell you something right now, the more God blesses you, the more people are going to talk about you. Someone did you wrong? Don't retaliate. Let God fight your battles. Just ignore it and keep moving forward. After all, they can't stop my destiny. I mean, I've been preaching for about 34 years now. About 34 years I've been speaking in public. I've been preaching about 34 years since I was 19. And let me tell you, of course, you know, the more people that you're in front of, the more critics you have. Now, I know I don't have any critics here. I know everybody here loves me. Because I love you. You love me. But you know, I have had a few critics. I have had one or two. And you know what I found out? A critic has never been able to stop me. Someone that doesn't like me, they may try to discredit me. They may even say things about me that aren't true. But they've never been able to keep me from rising higher. And I didn't try to prove to them who I am or answer my critics or convince them to try and like me. I found something much more effective. I just ignored it. Don't pay them any attention. Don't try and retaliate. Don't sink down to their level. Maintain your dignity. Be an eagle. And rise above it. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Amen.
Say, I'm an eagle.
I'm an eagle.
I'm not a crow. I'm not a turkey. I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle. You see, an eagle can fly at heights that a crow cannot reach. And there will always be some crows in your life pecking at you, trying to bait you into conflict. You've probably got some crows in the office. Maybe one of your relatives is a crow. Maybe your spouse. I'm just kidding. Don't. Just look straight ahead. The only way to argue with a crow is to sink down to their level. And if you find yourself in conflict, upset, trying to prove your point, that's a sign you've come down too low. You need to get back up where you belong. Remember the song? Love lift us up where we belong. Remember that song? Where the eagles fly on a mountain high. You remember that song? Listen, you're an eagle. Stop wasting your time with the crows. The crows cannot go where you're going. Don't waste any emotional energy on that. Rise above it, family. Let me tell you, God sees what's happening. He will take care of your crows. The scripture says in Genesis 23, verse 22, I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. Let me tell you, I don't want to, I'm not trying to boast. You better be careful if you oppose me.
That's right.
Because the Lord fights for me. He's my friend. He's your friend too. Amen? But you see, if you go in and you try and do God's work, oh God, let me oppose them. Let me straighten them out. I've got a good insult for them. I tell you, I'm going to get them back, man. I'm going to pay them back. Then God steps back. He says, okay, you do it on your own. You can handle it. But if you'll make a better decision and turn it over to God, He will oppose those who oppose you.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when the Most High God, when the Creator of the universe opposes, there's nothing that can stand against Him.
Yeah.
But when you're an eagle, when you take the high road, some people will mistake it for weakness. The truth is, it's a sign of strength. It takes a strong person to overlook an insult. It takes maturity not to get into an argument. Some people will try and bait you. Some people, they feed off arguing. I mean, on purpose, they'll do things, try and get you riled up, try to push your buttons. If you take the bait, if you give in, you're allowing them to control you. Because they know if I push this button, they're going to get upset. If I push that button, you're going to start arguing. Do yourself a favor. Turn the buttons off.
Yes.
Disconnect them. Quit taking the bait.
Amen.
The next time it happens, just smile and just keep moving forward. Because remember, you have a destiny to fulfill. You don't have time to waste playing those games. I mean, this is something that I admire greatly with Joel Osteen. Pastor Joel Osteen. I admire. Because he doesn't respond to critics. It was so sad to see such hatred directed toward Joel Osteen on social media when the floods hit Houston. Unbelievable. Even ministers. Ministers. Criticizing. Don't even know what they're talking about. You know, people say such mean and nasty things about Joel. I mean, even use a vulgar language. But when they interviewed him on TV, I loved it. They interviewed him. He said, well, I never read any of that. I never read any of the negative. I never read any of that. He said, I'm called to encourage, lift people up. And that's what I'm focusing on. And I don't know what about you, but it seems to be working out for him.
Yeah.
I say, keep on criticizing him, man. God's going to keep on blessing him and lifting him up. I heard Joel tell the story. One time this man came to him and he was very uptight, stressed out. And he asked Pastor Joel what he believes about certain scripture. And Joel said, he could tell he was ready to argue. And the man read the scripture, and Joel wasn't that familiar with it. And so he asked the man, what do you believe it means?
And the man started telling Joel very intensely, going on and on and on, what it means. And Joel said, it sounded right. So Joel said, I believe what you believe. I believe what you believe. The man no more heard that. He went in one ear and out right out the other ear. He started the whole argument all over again, getting all riled up, trying to convince Joel. When he paused, Joel said again, I believe what you believe. He looked at him kind of puzzled, and he started up all over again. Here, he'd won the argument 3 times. The problem was, he didn't want to have peace. He wanted to argue.
Yeah.
See, what does God say? In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15, God says, God has called us to live in peace. Say, God has called me to live in peace. Proverbs 29, verse 8 says, fools start fights everywhere, while wise men try to keep the peace. Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus said, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. I mean, we've got it right now in the political arena. We've got America divided. We've got some people on this side and some people on that side, and they're going at each other all the time. Romans 12, verse 18 says, don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone as much as is possible. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 says, make it your ambition to live quietly and peacefully and to mind your own affairs and work with your own hands just as we directed you. The Bible says, live at peace and mind your own business. Now, if you didn't get anything more out of church today, that was worth it. Just that. Live in peace and mind your own business. That's what the scripture says. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord must not participate in quarrels, but must be kind to everyone, even-tempered, preserving peace. James 3, verse 18 says, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Those who are peacemakers will reap a harvest of goodness. See, God blesses peacemakers. God blesses peacemakers. Your time is too valuable to waste it with people that don't want to have peace. Don't argue doctrine with people. Don't argue politics with people. Things you're never going to agree on. For the sake of peace, let somebody else be right. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. It doesn't say winning a fight is a mark of honor. Proving your point is a mark of honor. Straightening somebody out is a mark of honor. No, it says avoiding a fight. Being an equal. Overlooking some things. Letting someone else be right for the sake of peace. That's a mark of honor. Amen. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. There's good preaching here today. Yes. Right? And you know what? This is so important, especially in our homes. Because it's so easy to argue over petty things, things that don't really matter. I've seen people get a divorce, not over something big. I mean, they're great people, they love each other, but they argued over little things. I've seen people argue over the how you squeeze the toothpaste. See, where there's strife and division, little things turn into big things. That's when families can get torn apart. And when you live with someone, you're not going to see eye to eye all the time. Am I the only one? You guys see eye to eye all the time? When you live with someone, they're going to do things that's going to get on your nerves. But guess what? You do things that get on their nerves too. You've got to make a decision. I'm not going to allow strife into my home. I'm going to do what I can to keep the peace. That means you're going to have to overlook some things. You know, what would normally upset you, the next time it happens, why don't you be an eagle and rise above? Well, Steve, I'm waiting for her to change. And God is waiting for you to change. Well, if he'd stop aggravating me, I'd stop arguing. Why don't you be the peacemaker? Rise above. Years ago, we took our kids to Disney World. We were trying to get on the right freeway. I don't know if you ever come out of Disney World, but it can be confusing. We're trying to get back to the hotel. And I thought we had to take a certain freeway, but Jill said, no, it's the other one. I said, no, I'm sure this is the right way. She said, Steve, I'm positive we need to take the other one. I said, Jill, I'm positive our hotel is this way. She said, you're going to see, you're going the wrong way. I zigzagged all over town, no idea where I was going. But I didn't tell her, I drove so confidently I could have won an Academy Award. She said, Steve, we're driving in circles. I said, I'm not driving in circles, I'm going straight to the hotel. About 10 minutes later, took a right turn, and we were right back at Disney World. I couldn't believe it. What am I saying? I thought I was right. But I found out later I was wrong. But I believed I was right. Sometimes, even when you think you're right, you need to swallow your pride and let someone else be right. I would rather let the other person be right and have peace than for me to be right and not have peace. Now when I'm going somewhere, I just say, yeah. Which way would you like me to go? There's my GPS. I don't ask any questions. I don't even check my GPS. There's my GPS. And let me tell you, if you're going to get to the well of room enough, if you're going to get to the well of wide open spaces, you've got to go through the well of argument, where you're tempted to get into strife and conflict. You've got to go through the well of opposition, where things come against you, things you don't understand. You might be in a difficult place right now. Something is happening in your life, and it's not fair. Don't get discouraged, because you're right where Isaac was. It's part of the process. You're at well number one. Maybe you're at well number two. The good news is, well number three is coming. The well of room enough is coming. The well of abundance is coming. The well of wide open spaces is coming. Don't get stuck in the first two wells. We all have opposition. We all have people that come against us. But if you will keep on moving forward, like Isaac, you will see God vindicate you. You will see God promote you. God will take you where you couldn't go on your own. Amen? That's what happened with Job. With Job, everything was going great. Then the bottom fell out. He lost his health, he lost his family, he lost his business. He was at the well of opposition. He didn't understand it. He was doing the right thing. The wrong thing was happening. His friends told him it was his fault. His wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? But he came to the well of argument and strife. Job looked around him, and Job said in Job 23, verse 3, if only I knew where to find God. He said, I go east, but he's not there. I go west, but I can't find him. I don't see him in the north. He's hidden. I look to the south, but he is concealed. How many of you know sometimes it feels like, Lord, where are you? I go to the north, you're not there. I go south, I go west. Where are you? Sometimes you can't see what God is doing. You're praying, but it doesn't seem to be working out. Like Isaac, it was your land, but they asked you to leave. It's easy to make a judgment based on one season. Look at one period of your life and think that's how it's always going to be. That determines the rest of your future. No, listen, it's just one well. You can't see where God is taking you. All those clogged up wells, those wells of opposition, family, they are leading you to the well of room enough. Don't make a judgment based on a moment. Where you are now is not your final destination. It is just a season. Thank God Job didn't give up. He could have stopped at well number one. He could have stopped at well number two. But instead he kept on moving forward. He kept on pressing forward. He stayed on the high road. He overlooked some things. The Bible says he prayed for his friends, and then he came to well number three. He came to the place of abundance, where he not only saw his health turn around, but he came out with twice than he had before. He came to a place of abundance, a place of room enough, a place of wide open spaces in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a man told me recently how God had failed him. He prayed and he believed, but his business didn't make it. He was judging his future on that one bad break.
And I told them what I'm telling you. God didn't fail you. That's just well number one. Room enough is up ahead. Abundance is in your future. But you'll never see it if you stop where you are right now. You see, like him, you may have had some clogged up wells. Maybe you did the right thing. You worked hard, but you had a setback. You had a disappointment. God is saying, keep digging. Those clogged up wells are not the end. In God's will, you will have some stopped up wells. You can't pray away all the opposition. You can't pray away all the people that did you wrong. It's part of the process. I remember when our church, when we first started, we were meeting in a high school, the Palm Beach Gardens High School. For 6 years we were in the high school. We found a building to rent on Military Trail in Palm Beach Gardens. It was ideal. It was a freestanding building. It seated about 200 people, had plenty of parking. It seemed perfect for us at the time. We negotiated a lease with the owner. It wasn't easy. They were hesitant about leasing to a church. But eventually they agreed. We hired architects. We had plans drawn up for the build out, for the zoning process. We spent thousands of dollars, months of work. But the city of Palm Beach Gardens turned down the zoning. They wouldn't give us the zoning. That was well number one. I mean, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. But I knew God had called us here. I knew God was leading me. I refused to quit. I refused to give up. Then we found the second building to lease in Palm Beach Gardens. And we went through the same process. And again, the city turned us down. That was well number two. One day I was driving by Maplewood Center and on Maplewood Drive. And I saw this complex, and it had a for lease sign, and I sent the Lord telling me to go in, and I went. I spoke with the owner, and God gave me great favor with the owner. He really wanted us as a tenant. He offered us a big discount. We signed the lease, went through the process. I had an architect, had plans drawn up. I had a company to handle the zoning. I had a lawyer. The process took months and months, but this time we got zoning approval, and our church was in that building from 2004 to 2009. That was well number three. We saw increase. We saw growth, and now I feel like the enemy has tried to clog up our well, so to speak. We lost our building on Center Street last year in June, but again, family, God has brought us to the well of room enough, the well of wide open spaces. God has provided us with a new building on Indian Town Road, a better location, a better building. And let me tell you, we're going to grow in that building. We're going to expand again. God's going to restore what the enemy has stolen in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, we're going to come out of this better off than what we did before. We're going to come out of this bigger, stronger, more blessed, more prosperous. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, God has a well of wide open spaces up ahead of us. You just don't give up. You just don't quit. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep expecting. You keep thanking God. You keep praising God. You keep declaring the word. You keep giving. You keep doing everything. You stay committed. And if you'll stay committed and keep moving forward and not allow the discouragement to stop you in your track, I'm telling you right now, you'll go from well number one to well number two, and you'll come to that well number three. You'll come to that place of room enough. You'll come to that place of abundance. You'll come to that place of wide open spaces in Jesus' name. Do you believe that today? Listen. You might have dug a well and it didn't work out. And you dug another well and someone clogged it up. Somebody walked away from you. I want you to stay in faith, because well number three is coming. And the third well is where opportunity flows freely. It's when good breaks chase you down. It's when the right people come looking for you. Well number three is more than you can ask or think. It's when God pays you back. He makes up for those two wells that didn't work out. You might be at well number one right now, a difficult place, or maybe you're at well number two right now. Life doesn't make sense, but my challenge is keep digging. Keep on digging, family. Don't make a judgment based on the moment That opposition wasn't sent to stop you like David. It was sent to establish you. It's to prove the anointing of God on your life. I believe, family, that we are going to grow way beyond what we've seen when we move in that new building. And Kevin, as I drove, took him by it, and he said, I saw a vision. I saw the name of the Girl Scouts disappear. I saw the roof disappear. I saw the glory of God come down in that new building. I saw people lined up trying to get in there to the presence of God. I receive it, family. I believe that we are going to end up with multiple services. We're going to have people lining up outside that building. I believe God's will and destiny for our church will be accomplished in the name of Jesus, because I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. God called us from South Africa 17, 18 years ago. Family, He called us to leave a church of thousands, and I believe He has a great destiny for our church. And we've had some opposition, and we've had some wells plugged up, but it ain't over yet. God is still leading us. God still has a plan and a destiny in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? I believe, family, listen. I believe you're coming into room enough. I believe you're coming into the place of abundance, of health, of wholeness, the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. We all face opposition, but remember, opposition signals promotion. That signals, man, this setback is a setup for God to do something even greater, something even bigger, something even better, to bring me out with twice what I had before in Jesus' name. How many of you believe in God to bring you out, to promote you, to bring increase? How many of you believe in God for that well of room enough, that well of wide open spaces in Jesus' name? Amen. Say this, say, thank you, Lord, that you go before me. You level the mountains. Say, thank you, Lord, you are with me. You are on my side. Thank you, Lord, like an eagle, as I trust in you. Lord, I rise high above every circumstance. In Jesus' name, say, Lord, I thank you that you are my vindicator. You are my provider. You are my promoter. I thank you, Lord, for bringing abundance, bringing me to a place of abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the scripture says, we went through the fire and we went through the flood, but you brought us out to a place of great abundance. You might have been through the fire and you might have been through the flood. But let me tell you right now, God is bringing you out to a place of great abundance. Just keep on believing. Keep on expecting. Keep on praising. Keep on praying. Keep on praying in the Spirit. Keep on being faithful. Keep on giving. Keep on coming to church. Just, the Bible says, a faithful person will abound with blessing. Just stay faithful to God, family. Because I'm telling you right now, when you least expect it, when just like that, boom, everything will turn around for you. I mean, with this building that the Lord opened the door for us, I mean, honestly, it has been just about effortless. You talk about sweatless anointing. The Lord has done this. God opened the door. He had someone call me and say, I want to buy your building. God moved on this man's heart to say, I want to send you this building, excuse me. And he's just, I mean, it's more than, it's beyond what I could have asked or even thought. I mean, we were in a building with where our mortgage was $30,000 a month, and now we're going to end up with a better building in a better location with a mortgage of $12,500 a month. I mean, it's like less than half what we were paying. And let me tell you, family, that is God. God has done it. God is faithful. He wants to do great things for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many people are believing God to do great things in your life? How many people believe in God for breakthrough? Do you believe in Him for the victory? Amen. Well, I want to tell you, if you're facing opposition, be encouraged. It means promotion's on the way. It means promotion is on the way. Amen. Tell your neighbor, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. God's about to promote you. Come on, get ready. Your breakthrough's on the way. Your healing's on the way. Amen. Your miracle's on the way. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. Lord, we thank you that as we trust in you, you will cause us to mount up with wings like eagles. You will cause us to soar. You will cause us to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. Lord, we just thank you that we can trust in you. You're our provider. You're our way maker. You're our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. I want to ask you for a moment, would you just bow your head for a moment, just close your eyes. While we have our eyes closed, while we have our heads bowed in prayer, I want to give an opportunity. I want to pray right now. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. And the question is this. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt? If you died today, you are sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Well, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you this question. If you died today, are you sure of where you would spend all of eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure. You can know that you know that heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you sit, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I ask you quickly right now, just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Just lift it up high and put it down. All right. Praise God. Well, I didn't see anyone with their hand raised, so I'm going to assume that everyone here knows the Lord and everyone here is on their way to heaven for all eternity. Amen. Praise God. I want to say this before my wife comes up and we're going to have a time where we give, bring our offerings and tithes to the Lord, honor God. It's a holy time. It's very important. It matters a lot to the Lord. The Bible talks so much about giving. But before she does that, I want to just say that today is the, what is the date today? It's the 24th. We have 1 week. We have 7 days. And we have to pay the final installment on our new building. It's $50,000 that we have to pay. And right now, as it stands, we don't have the $50,000 right now today. But let me tell you right now, we'll have it by the end of the month. We'll have every dollar that we need. How many believe that? How many believe that? I can tell you right now. You watch. I'll stand here in front of you. And I'll say, guess what? Lord did it again.
Amen.
We need $50,000. We don't need 50. We have to pay $50,000 by next week. We probably need about 40. I want to thank everyone in this church who has given toward our new building. I want you to know we appreciate every dollar that has been given toward that new building. And I want you to know
that for all the years to come, every person that gets saved in that building, every life that gets changed, yeah, is going to go to your credit. Everyone who gave to that new building is going to go to your credit. So there's no pressure. Everybody say no pressure. There's no pressure. I'm not saying this to try and pressure you. I'm just informing you of this is where we stand. We have 1 week to pay the $50,000. And I believe we'll have it. Amen? Amen? But if the Lord speaks to you today and tells you to give $50,000, just do it. Because it's God. The devil ain't going to speak to you about giving money to build God's house.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, Lord, for providing. You, Lord, you promised, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we know there's no recession up in heaven. We thank you for providing every need. Thank you for providing this new building. Thank you, Lord, for making a way where I didn't see a way. And thank you for providing all the funds we need, Lord. Thank you for everyone who has given. Thank you, Lord, for our faithful givers and tithers in this church. And I thank you for the windows of heaven open over them, pouring blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Good message, right? As we get ready to give, there are envelopes on the seat right where you're sitting. Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give. And to those of you who have already given online, we appreciate it. We thank you for your faithfulness to give all the tithes. We always like to just read a scripture. And I want to just read Malachi 3. The Bible says, God said this. He said, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into my storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. I will also stop the locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. Everyone of every nation will talk about how I have blessed you and about your wonderful land. I, the Lord all-powerful, have spoken. You know, we had Kevin last week, and one of the things that really, Kevin Zadar was here, and one of the things he said, and you know, it's things we know to be true, but he said when he spoke to Jesus, and Jesus sat back and said, I've done everything I'm going to do. It's up to you now. And so true. It's in the Word of God. There's in the Word of God all the promises, everything we could possibly need. But we've got to believe it, right? And giving, how many of you know tithing and giving requires trust? I heard such a good story. Isabel, wave your hand, Isabel. Isabel Airy. And Chris, we love the Airies, don't we?
Yes.
And they're four handsome boys. And yeah, Aaron's the oldest one's at the back. He's helping usher. But their second son, Amari, Isabel told us the story, and I thought it really was such an illustration of what I'm telling you right now. She said, Amari, his birthday was coming up. How old is he? 12, that's what I thought. And his birthday was coming up, and his uncle phoned him, and his uncle was talking to him on the phone, and they were talking about what he was going to give him for his birthday. And anyway, they negotiated a bit, and then they came down to, his uncle said, I'm going to send you a sum of money. And so Isabel said, they went to church the next Sunday, and Amari said, I'm going to tithe on my birthday gift. And she said, but you haven't even got it yet. And he said, no, but I trust him. I mean, I trust him. He said he's going to do it for me. I'm going to tithe on it. It's as good as done. How many of us trust God that much? Right? That's why when we tithe, it's because we trust God. Because if we didn't, we'd be holding on to every penny saying, you've got to save it for a rainy day, right? But when we trust God, we can say, Lord, you said it, and I trust you. that if you said it, that you're going to do exactly what you said. Amen? Amen. So as you prepare to give, the envelopes are right there on the seat where you are, or go ahead. There's different ways you can give, and we are going to make a confession of faith today. Ours is in my purse. Let's say this today. Say, because I support God's kingdom,
by tithing and giving,
God has pleasure,
God has pleasure
in my prosperity.
Therefore, I am believing God.
Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlement, inheritance, estates and inheritance, rebates and returns, check in the mail, finding money, bills paid off, interest and income, creative ideas, houses and land. Let me add this, grants and scholarships,
good employees.
New contracts. Say thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs. That I have more than enough, to give into the kingdom of God, and promote the gospel,
of Jesus Christ.
Amen. You believe it, right? Go ahead, ushers. Thanks. Pastor Steve. Oh, by the way, the lunch club has been postponed. We usually do it today. It's postponed till next week.
Praise God. I want to thank everyone who came to pray with us this morning. We have started, my bell popped. It's actually not that I'm getting fat, it's that I'm getting thin and I tied it too tight to try and hold my pants up and I popped. Thank you. Problems in the past. So now, I want to thank everybody who came to pray. We've started intercessory prayer before service from 9:15 to 9:45 in the boardroom. We had a great time of prayer this morning, and I want to thank everyone who came to pray this morning, and I want to encourage and invite you to come and join us and pray before service on Sunday. I really believe it's making a big difference as we are praying. Amen. I also want to thank all of our volunteers who served today. I want you to give a big round of applause to all of our volunteers. Thank you to the worship team and to Chester and to the media team, to the setup team who got here this morning at 6:30 a.m. Thank you to our setup team. Amen. And Miguel, won't you come and stand here for a second, Miguel? And James, won't you come and stand here for a moment? Just for a moment. I want the Connect Group leaders. Where'd your dad go? Is he counseling somebody? Talking to somebody? Miguel and James both lead a setup team. This Sunday, Miguel's team did the setup. And then next Sunday will be James's team. So they take turns. And then, of course, they break down after the service. I want to say thank you to them and to your team. And I want to ask anyone, you know, we always need more people. The more people we have to help, many hands make a lot of work. So the more volunteers you have, then the faster things go. And we don't have to have the same people. How many of you know that it's not right to have the same people working week after week after week? We all need to help and volunteer and do our bit. How many of you know that's true? I mean, I love the fact last week, Kevin Zeta, we had service on Sunday night, which we don't normally do. And it was a 3-hour service. By the way, I'm feeling stirred. When we move in our new building, I'm feeling we may have a Sunday night service. I may do a Sunday night. I'm really feeling this. And number two, now I'm making work for myself here. But I want to do a Spanish service. I'll preach with an interpreter. So I'm thinking about having a Spanish service and an English service. Then you can invite all your... Everyone who doesn't maybe speak very much English, I want to reach the Spanish community. And so all the worship will be in Spanish at that service. And I'll have an interpreter until I can preach in Spanish.
Until that happens, come stop. Is that a word?
Yeah.
How are you? Come stop. They just came out. Thank you. Last week, Kevin. So after the service in the evening, they preached the morning and preached the evening. Then he stayed behind and helped pack up, helped set up, helped break down. And I love to see that. But you know, we all are servants in the house of God.
Yeah.
Amen? So if you would like to volunteer, maybe you can do it every week. In fact, the more volunteers we have, we want to get to a point where we don't have to have the same people doing it every week. So come and talk to Miguel. Come and talk to James. Say, I'd like to help out. I can help out once a month, or I can help out twice a month. That'll be awesome. Come and talk to them. Amen? Don't forget, this week we meet in connect groups. James and Dave, where's David? James and David have a connect group in West Palm Beach on Thursday night. I have a connect group in my house on Wednesday night in Jupiter. Tom Cartwright, over there, Tom, he has a connect group, he and his wife, in Stuart on Wednesday. Then Liz isn't well, but Liz and Janice and Todd, they have a group in Port St. Lucie. So we have Stuart, Port St. Lucie, West Palm Beach, Jupiter. If you're not in the connect group, go and talk to one of these people and go in. Because we had such a great time on Wednesday night at our connect group, didn't we? So praise God. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you are so good to us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are our refuge, our strong tower. You're our vindicator, Lord. We thank you. You're our deliverer. You fight our battles. You're our provider. Lord, we're just so grateful for your goodness. And we thank you that as we go home today, you are with us. Your angels encamp about us and protect us. We thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us this week, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for using us to be able to minister, to encourage somebody else, Lord, that we wouldn't go to heaven alone, but we would just take as many people, reach as many people as we can, in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We love you, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday morning. Have an awesome week. Remember, increase is headed your way.
Let the people say what they want to say. Hey, you can do it.
probation, I do have a lady.